This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
I tried to envision coming here, and I thought there might be five people, maybe. Thank you, Keith, for your prayer. We're in awe at the interest in this, and I believe it's because it's growing, and whether we like it or not. What I'm going to speak today about is going to be just a summary, a very small amount of what information could be given, but it's all we could do. I've been in this business for about 25 years and have greatly been impacted by my time spent sitting with those who have been molested. I won't be the same, ever, nor do I want to be. I want to introduce my wife, Bonnie, who has come with me and has supported me through this. And I really, really appreciate her and her willingness to do that. I'm going to give some stories. And I know that there may be people sitting in this room who have been molested. And these stories might trigger something in you. Please take care of yourself. Know that you can get up and walk out. Take some time. But take care of yourself. All the names of these stories that I'm going to tell have been changed for their protection. And I'm really going to just start out with story number one. One girl we'll call Becky was molested from age 6 to 14 by her father. She learned some things from that laid out a plan, her path, to become an early mom with 4 children by age 20. She is now married to another man, not the children's father. What do you suppose happened in her mind and heart that landed her in these circumstances? Story number 2. Becky's older sister, Bree, was also molested from age 9 to 11. But she took a very different path. She is 24 and just now having a loving relationship with a man. She has no children. What happened in Bree's mind and heart that was so different from her sister? Today I'd like to look at this question. How does childhood molest impact the mind both through childhood and adulthood? Many struggle from the effects of molest. But in a safe place, healing can begin when we identify the origins and understand how the trauma interrupted critical normal development of the child. 2 important notes. Not everyone who struggles has been molested. And not everyone who has been molested ends up with the deficits we're going to consider today. The point is, we want to make sure the possibility of molestation is always on the table when we're trying to help hurting people. Sometimes if we don't understand it quite so well, we might just slide it through and it becomes something different, and we miss the point of helping. We'll look at each age of basic life development this way. Normal and abnormal development for the age, the effects of abuse at this stage of development, and how the childhood trauma impacts adulthood. For the developmental stages, I have borrowed from Eric Erickson's work. Though some of his work have been debated, these developmental stages seem useful for the purpose of this talk. These developmental stages are not one or the other, but a continuum. In other words, we're going to give two things, and the first one is trust versus mistrust. But it's not necessarily just either or. It can be somewhere in between also. The first stage, conception through 18 months, trust versus mistrust is built. Trust versus mistrust is the starting place for all future growth and behavior. About trust, this first stage is so fundamental to the rest of the child's life. They either learn to trust the world and see it as a safe place, or they have negative feelings toward their environment, including those around them. This can become the basis for how they perceive the world the rest of their life. Mistrust. Many things during this time impact how a child sees his or her world. Even their ability to learn may be affected. The time in the womb is important for a child in how they will be able to learn and cope with the environment they will soon have. Family stress, angry emotions, confusion, anxiety, marital conflict, lack of sleep, drugs and alcohol all bring changes to the baby while they are in the womb. They are very aware of the environment outside of the womb while in the womb. Many of the same factors influence development after birth also. Was mom nurturing or cold and unfeeling? Was there an atmosphere of peace or turmoil in the home? Did the family have many loving, happy times or many times of yelling, angry, manipulating, cheating, etc.? Was there plenty of warm touch or no touch or inappropriate touch? The effects of negative influence on the child at this age can have lasting effects of mistrust all their life. The effects of abuse on this area. I have heard few children saying they remember being molested at this age, but were told by adults that they had been. Many times, if a child has been violated sexually, it leaves a striking change in their life regarding trust and mistrust, either trusting too easily or not trusting at all. It can go both ways, but in my experience, it tends to go toward mistrust. Note, not all of those who suffer from mistrust have been molested. The impact of childhood trauma in adulthood. The mind of an adult who was molested may continue the question, why and how am I supposed to view others? They tend to be either naive and trusting, or it should be better not to, or gravely suspicious toward most people. When Mary heard that she had been molested at a young age, she began to understand her struggles of being touched. She was never sure what to do with it. What was their intent? What might be safe? What is not? She struggled in her relationships, not understanding trust as a loving place. She came for counseling to work out a better understanding of trust and touch and related issues. Learning who God is and feeling safety there had a profound effect on how she was able to navigate life today. 18 months to 3 years, autonomy versus shame and doubt. Autonomy, they exhibit a greater need for autonomy, doing things themselves, such as toilet training, food they like and dislike, toy preferences, the clothes they wear. As you take this home and visualize children or see children going through these ages, it's kind of fun to watch them go through them. They exhibit a greater, children who receive consistent training will develop autonomy and be ready for the next phase of life. they become more confident and secure in their own age-appropriate abilities. Shame and doubt. A child who grows up with negative parents, with condemnation and criticism, may have a sense of shame and doubt their ability to do well. The effects of abuse. This is a very vulnerable stage in life, and many molests begin at this age. Again, no ability to protect or even know what is right except God-given feelings they begin to have and still may not be able to articulate. Fear, confusion, distress, discomfort, body memories, something just seems off, etc. Being told to keep her dress down by some, and others wanting to raise it up. Very difficult to understand. This forms the thinking that things are not solid in her world. This brings shame and doubt, and gives them uncertainty and mixed feelings. At this age, they have very little concept of what an older person might do to them, but they do understand that things do not add up. They start to think, there must be something wrong with me, or I must have done something wrong. If you add what the perpetrator may say, you can see why they can carry a lot of shame and doubt. You are beautiful. You tell anyone, and you could go to jail. Imagine a 3-year-old hearing that. You're the problem here, etc., are things a perpetrator may say. Impact of childhood trauma in adulthood. Shame and doubt became part of how the adult sees him or herself now. This can make for poor relationships, difficulty having good friends, and not holding down a job or having good intimacy. Never feeling like he or she is enough. Feeling the same sense of shame brought on by molest so long ago. A story of Nikki. Nikki was rubbed up and down on an older teenager for his gratification. She had no idea at that time what he was doing or why, but later learned how he groomed her to do more things for him and others. She was molested several times by different boys and did not like it, but here's the kicker. She did not know how to say no. This brought shame and doubt that has plagued her to this day. She has had questions. She turned to porn and wondered if she was normal or not. Used alcohol to try to help rid the thoughts and feelings. This has given her a faulty foundation that has been difficult to overcome. Was she to blame? Was she too pretty? Did God do this to her? Where was God during this time of her vulnerability? Can I trust what people tell me? How can I trust the therapist? Can I even trust God? Ages 3 to 6, initiative versus guilt. Initiative. During this period of time, the child is regularly interacting with other children, exploring their interpersonal skills, making up games, initiating activities with others, and beginning school. If given this opportunity, children develop a sense of initiative and feel secure in their ability to lead others and make age-appropriate decisions. With a good foundation in the family and proper teaching about good touch and bad touch, the child may be able to thwart the advances of a molester. Guilt. If the inborn tendency toward initiative is squelched, either through excessive criticism or control, children develop a sense of guilt. The child will often overstep the mark in his frustration, and the danger is that his parents will tend to punish the child and restrict his initiatives too much. At this stage, the child will begin to ask many questions as his thirst for knowledge grows. If the parents treat the child's questions as trivial, a nuisance, or embarrassing, or threatening that the child may have feelings of guilt for being a nuisance, we must be very careful about how we talk to a child who is trying to learn and grow in his imaginative state. Have patience with them. Let them talk it out. Guilt from this stage may very well lead to poor boundaries themselves. Their interest is powered so much by a need to be accepted. Some healthy guilt is, of course, necessary. Otherwise, the child would not know how to exercise self-control or learn and listen to his conscience. The effects of abuse. In this stage of life, a victim becomes molested, being molested tends to align with the perpetrator out of necessity. They may think what is happening to them is the way to get love, or they may abhor it and be disgusted by it. Many times the controlling actions of the molester cause shame and doubt. If you were not so pretty, this would not be happening to you. You are the one who is the problem, etc. can cause a child to think of themselves as very bad. This lie can last a lifetime if not changed, and it runs deep in their psyche. Impact of childhood trauma in adult. So remember Becky at the beginning, who was molested by her father? She felt obligated to take care of her dad, even though she hated him and hated what he was doing to her and her sister. He would say he wanted them to do things because he was disabled, and she had no idea how to sort it all out. The girls had a neglectful mother. They called 911 several times when she overdosed. At 6 years old, Becky was torn between initiative and guilt, many times doing the right thing, but not even knowing it at this age. Now she is living with her 4 children, her husband, and trying to make it, working as a phlebotomist, still struggling with relationships at home and work. 6 to 12 years old, initiative versus inferiority. Industry versus inferiority. Industry, children are at the age where they will begin learning to read and write and do math and do things on their own. Teachers, peers, and others begin to take an important role in the child's life. They are susceptible to bullying or being bullied. What others say about them feels very important to them and may even become directional in their way of thinking. Positive reinforcement and good leadership is very important at this age. Their attitudes begin to show much more and their abilities are fine-tuned. Their emotions are sometimes slow to develop depending on what the environment is like around them. Inferiority. If they fail in the home or at school, at a specific skill, are criticized or made fun of, they may develop inferiority. An inattentive parent will negatively impact this area. These children need very close attention and help as they navigate these years. The effect of abuse. This also is a primary age for victims to begin. This age begins puberty and body changes that are noticeable and can bring on embarrassment, teasing, and ridicule. There is much uncertainty and wanting to fit in this age. They are very susceptible to others' remarks and opinions. This makes them good targets for molesters to prey upon and continue if they had started earlier. Grooming during this younger age is very problematic and easily accomplished by the perpetrator. The child's feelings, vocabulary, and thinking ability begin to expand, They feel different from others, abandoned by parents, ashamed, broken, confused, defiled, an outcast, out of control, friendless, forsaken, humiliated, inferior, are all feeling words I have heard many times from this age. Impact of childhood trauma in adulthood. Remember Becky and Bree? Bree was at this age of an industry versus inferiority when the molest started for her. But Becky was 3 years younger and had much more significant abuse. I met them when they were 14 and 16 years old. It has been interesting to watch them grow up and become adults with differing thoughts about love, safety, making friends, living in their worlds. Becky said she found a sense of being loved for who she was in men and ended up with her first child at 14. She needed acceptance. Bree said she wanted nothing to do with men, that she was repulsed by them, to the point that she would hardly give a hug to anyone. I think I got 3 out of 2 years. Both had the same thing happen to them each day, but it affected them very differently. Although Bree was older by 18 months and had been molested about half as long a time, Bree was in the stage of industry versus inferiority and found that she could defend herself through industry and found safety there. She learned to leave the house when Dad was home as much as she could. They are entering their adulthood in very different circumstances. Bree has a boyfriend. She finally put on Facebook after some time of quiet consideration. Ages 12 to 18, identity versus role confusion. Identity, this stage, adolescents search for a sense of self and personal identity through an intense exploration of personal values, beliefs, and goals. Learning to cope with change and do well when times are troubling. It can be a dizzying time. The role of parents as a guide in this stage is very important as children begin to make choices for their future both spiritually and naturally. Having a good identity as a person and in the family, church, community is good to encourage as they learn to navigate, asking questions, making choices for themselves. This can be a difficult time for children and young adults. Many hormonal changes take place, and the mind may go many different directions as they pursue relationships to a deeper level. Their relationships shift to peers many times, and parents are much more involved with themselves. Role confusion. Their relationships begin to define them as they look around and find those that most comfortably fit. It is important that these children are given godly wisdom, time, and attention regarding their relationships in the context of your own Christian sphere. For those with role confusion, there may be many challenges. Feelings of being in the wrong body, feelings of same-sex attraction, and a very vulnerable time, and so important that they have good communication with a reliable adult to help them through perplexing events and feelings. If a child has had any negative influences in the past stages, this time period may start to show some serious problems. Parents and peers' influence has the most important ramification at this time. We are now up against adulthood. You cannot find your identity. I'm going to say this again. You cannot find your identity in marrying someone else. You cannot find your identity in marrying someone else. You cannot find your identity in marrying someone else. I have seen many try this with disastrous results. The effect of abuse. Role confusion is real for many who have been abused in any way. With disconnected, overworked parents, this can be a very confusing time for young adults. They do not have the guidance needed to do well. Then on top of that, living with memories and possibly ongoing molest, it can almost stop a child in his tracks. Feeling stuck in the molest, the trauma is keeping a secret and trying to defend their molester and family name is overwhelming. This is changeable if they will just talk to someone who can help them out of this pit. Impact of childhood trauma in adulthood. A young girl adopted at 4 years old lived with religious adopted parents. They said they were religious. They let her go to school, and then she stayed in her bedroom till Dad came home, and he would spend time with her. Then she would go to bed. Mom used her as a slave, doing laundry, dishes, etc. But other than that, she stayed in her room. At 17 years old, someone suspected something, and CPS was called. She was taken from the home, and I was able to see her as a therapist. It was hard for her to know how to communicate. She had very few interests. She missed her dad, but not so much her mom. How could she miss her dad? She only knew what he had done to her and what mom had done, and that was her comparison. Never been to a McDonald's, the mall, or a park. She really did not know how to carry on a proper conversation. Her view of life was very small. I was given the opportunity to begin to be a corrective male role model for her. We still talk today. She still struggles with good understanding of herself, but is getting better as she goes to work in therapy. Ages 18 to 40, intimacy versus isolation. Intimacy, this is the active age of taking all you have learned since birth into the stage of usefulness and productivity. Things begin to solidify, finding an occupation, a spouse, taking on child raising are all good endeavors if you have a good foundation from the earlier stages of life. Most struggle with one or more of these stages in life, and it can be a fruitful struggle, or it can be very difficult. Isolation. This stage of isolation may look very different. The developmental stage you struggle with will greatly determine the issues that come up. If you had trouble in these areas of trust versus mistrust, it will be one type of issue to deal with. And etc. with the other areas. The effects of abuse. Raising children and many other demands on our time and effort may challenge our need for intimacy. We have had many who had successfully blocked out their molest, that it did not come up again until they had children the same age as when they were molested. Then it came back in the form of a memory or dreams. And it can be very vivid or come in small spurts of memories. These experiences can greatly shake a person and their family. This will be a process as they begin to own it and work through the experience as it comes back. I do believe God gives us only what we can do with His help at the time we receive the memory. Steph, I don't apologize for my emotion. These are real people. Steph had a very non-parent early childhood, living on the streets with other similar kids. Sexual activity started at age 11, very promiscuous at 14 years old. She got with a man who fathered three children and was very abusive to her throughout. She had to leave him due to his abusive behavior. Last year, he murdered his present girlfriend and went to prison. She isolated into drugs for a while, then was found by a church member who took her in. She came for therapy recommended by a church because her problems were too much for the church ladies to help her with. Steph had no understanding of how to raise children, have or help her children have good boundaries, or even have rules of safety for each to teach. She is now doing right by her children at their ages of 12, 16, and 17. It was only by the grace of God and her lending herself to an increased faith that she has a good godly foundation and a wonderful family and church family at this point. She has developed a love for intimacy in her church and is now ready to pursue a loving relationship whenever God sends her the right man. She was able to go from isolation to intimacy in the last few years successfully. Ages 40 to 65, generativity versus stagnation. Generativity refers to making our mark. The time in your life when you are able to see the finished work of your own hands and minds. The time when you are able to pass on what you have accomplished to your children. An individual who has arrived at generativity will contribute to the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, the community, the church, and the family. Thus able to help and support those of his field of influence. Stagnation. A sense of failure leads to stagnation and disconnect. A person in stagnation may feel taken advantage of and live in various degrees of shame and pity. The effects of abuse. Many who have struggled in life due to molest in their earlier years may end up here. There is help for them, and there is hope for all. Molest has a very deep entrenchment in the lives of those who try to go it alone, or bury it, or push it down, and deny its existence. It doesn't seem to go away and continues to plague us until we are willing to be open with God and those who can help. Their faith in Jesus may be challenged by these areas and experiences in life. Ages 65 years to death. Now we're getting up to where I am. Ego integrity versus despair. Integrity. We contemplate our accomplishments and can develop integrity if we see ourselves as having led a successful life both in this world and have hope for the world to come. We are thankful to God for his continued giving of his spirit and guidance as we view our life in him. Despair. Adults who reflect on their life and regret not achieving their goals may experience feelings of bitterness and despair. This leads to feelings of depression and hopelessness. We do know that integrity and despair can be seen in most any life. And so the mature thing is to see our life as balanced. How we see our life can greatly affect how we will feel in our last years, unless things change for us or we change things ourselves. A person who has been molested at a young age has a lifetime to bring either a hope for his life or despair brought on by wrong understandings of the past or being laden with resentment and bitterness from what happened. Okay, I saved the best till last. I had an experience with a very festy 72-year-old lady who came and said she had lived her life in anguish over memories that haunted her up to this time. She said that she did not want to live another day like this. I will have to say, she was one of my most motivated clients I have ever had up to that time. She kept me going. As she finished the homework I gave her, she would call me before the next session and ask for more. I lamented with her over the time she had squandered in horrible memories that kept her stuck. She now lives happily in her last years. Conclusion. These developmental stages are not one or the other, but a continuum, as I had mentioned earlier. I hope this has helped us to see the devastation of this sinful, heinous act of sexual molest on a person. How can we care for those in our homes, churches, and communities, and work tenaciously and intentionally to provide safety in our environments? May God bless you and your interest in searching and caring for others. It's a good work. Don't hesitate to go there. But go there with an open heart and willing to hear and see and feel things you had never thought about. I think there's a few minutes left. If anyone would like to ask a question, or I'll be around and we can chat later. I'm open to either one of those. So if you ask a question, there's probably six more that would like to ask the same one. So,
how can we, particularly as church leaders or just as adults in our congregations, how can we become more aware of the possibility of abuse, molestation early, and at the same time not foster an unhealthy spirit of suspicion? Mm-hmm. Do you have any tips or ideas, things that we should watch for? Or
the question is, how can we as church leaders help and be aware of these things? I think one thing that keeps a person who's been molested from talking is because they're not sure they will be heard. And as I'm sitting here looking at you, I see 17 people nodding their head around you. We must believe what is told us. We just must believe it. I don't think I've ever run into, I think I run into two people who intentionally lied about their molest in the 400 to 500 people I've sat with. So I just believe them and care about that with a real heart. When people are open, when you're open enough for them to come to you, you better be ready. And even talking about it is a thing to do. Open it up to the church and let people know that this isn't something we will allow, and we want to talk to anyone who has ever felt like this may have happened to them. Other questions?
Byron, maybe another answer to that session today, 4:30 in room 320.
Okay.
Session that talks a lot about that.
Yes, that's right. Well, I wasn't sure of the time, but thank you. Somebody else had a question?
What are the role and limitations of a friend walking with someone who's been through that?
What are the roles or limitations of a friend walking with someone? Don't try to fix them. Walk with them. My analogy for myself is I just want to come alongside and support you in your walk in this, because it is their walk. We can't take it from them, but we can certainly bless them as a friend in helping them. There will be some who can help more than others. Know your limitations. But I don't believe that we need to back up and stay away from those if they come to us talking about it. We do need to believe them. Any other questions? Yes. Ooh. The question was, if you learn of a situation like this, what are the legal responsibilities? If the child is under 18, you have a responsibility to let Child Protective Services or your sheriff's department know of this. I suppose I have at home a file about this thick of those that I have done. If the child is over 18, it is no longer a reportable issue. But if they're under 18, it needs to be reported. That's the law. I'm not going to get into church and state stuff here, because that's the law. And that's where we should stay, I believe, in that. That's really quick, but there are pieces of paper to fill out, and there's people to call, and you can call them, and they are there to help that child stay safe, get into a safe place, and do the right things. Yes, the church can be involved in that, absolutely, but do not do it without allowing the government to do their part. You can work with them. I've seen it done hundreds of times. It's okay. There's a question back here. Ah, so the child is now older than 18, you're saying? They're no longer being abused, but you're afraid maybe that the perpetrator is still perpetrating. That is okay to tell your leadership about it, and it's okay to even turn in a report, but the report will be a little bit hard for the government to do anything about it if there's not a victim. If you're the victim, or you know of a person that is, and they're underage, that'd be the place to start. If they're overage, but they still are concerned that the perpetrator may be doing this to others, that's a concern. We just need to have a victim to work with that, as far as the government is concerned. It doesn't mean that the body of Christ can't come alongside the perpetrator and help him, for sure. Question? Yes.
Do you have any advice on how to walk with non-believers in situations like this?
Do they have a soul? Let me ask a question here. How do you walk with non-believers through this kind of an issue? If they have a soul, you love them. You walk with them the same as you would here. You pray for them just like you would a believer. Should be no difference in my mind as to how we would treat them.
Maybe I had more of a comment than a question. One thing is that I've noticed, and I'm not a counselor, I'm a nurse, but people that have been molested, especially for a long time, there tends to be acting out, and there tends to be behavior. And when they are finally able to say what's been going on, within our church framework, we're fairly quickly to look at their behavior and to negate what they're saying. They're thus leaving the perpetrator, especially if it's in a church setting. That tendency to overlook that is really strong, and I think I just have to say that for us, that we need to maybe look at this differently.
Right. Did you all hear that? When a person has been acting out, children do act out. Hello? I mean, they do for a lot of reasons. But we shouldn't, and that was one of the reasons for this, is to help us to understand that it can be molest and that we shouldn't take that off the table. But they can act out, and so they look at the acting out rather than what might be behind it or under it. And it can be a protection for the perpetrator, which is not good. I just think if a child comes out and says those kinds of things, we must believe them. Okay, I've got one more minute, Keith says. Yes, many of these can. However, I believe that there is a change of a person's psyche with a molested person that's different than regular physical abuse. Yes?
So did you ever figure out how much does it change a person after he was molested, like in the spiritual realm with the oneness in that part?
That's going to be so individual. Every person and how they perceive and see God is going to have to be worked through. But many times, molest by a male can really, really affect how they would see God many times and how they will be able to attach themselves and have faith in and live that. It's a journey, but it can happen.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from REACH 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from REACH or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.